The sixth reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. John records how Jesus is God coming to this earth to offer a light and life to all who believe in him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Those great readings. And what a joy it is for me to be able to spend a few moments encouraging you, encouraging everybody to be wholehearted in trusting and loving and serving King Jesus. I want to begin with a quote by Jonathan Sacks, who was the chief rabbi up until 2013. And he's written a book called Not in God's Name. And he says this: "The 21st century has left us with a maximum of choice, but a minimum of meaning." And he's speaking about our secular society. That is our society where God does not really feature in our discussions and decisions. And he continues: "If there is one thing that the great institutions of the modern world don't do, is to provide meaning. Science tells us how, but not why. Technology gives us power, but can't guide us as to how to use that power. The market gives us choices, but leaves us uninstructed how to make those choices. The liberal democratic state gives us freedom to live as we choose, but on principle refuses to guide us on how to choose. Science, technology, markets, liberal democracy are great achievements, but they do not and cannot answer the questions that every reflective individual will ask at some point in their lives. Who am I? Why am I here? How then should we live?" The result is, the 21st century has left us with a maximum of choice, but a minimum of meaning. And then a little later he writes, "Homo sapiens is the meaning-seeking animal. So many choices, but so little that helps me decide what life is really all about. But let me tell you that tonight, the Apostle John, we heard it in his reading, wants us to be absolutely crystal clear. The Apostle John witnessed the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. He heard his teaching. And from that reading in his Gospel, John chapter 1, John is absolutely clear that we can know God in the person of Jesus and therefore know true meaning and true purpose, to really know who we are and why we're here and where we're heading. It's fascinating, isn't it? The Apostle John does not tell us the Christmas story. There are no sheep, no wise men, no shepherds, no angels, no Joseph and Mary. Rather, John just wants to tell us something even more profound and important about Jesus, which actually all the other gospel writers would agree with, and indeed in their way, say very clearly. John describes Jesus as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And it's one of the great things to be able to say that Jesus is God making himself known. Jesus is the Word. In Greek thought, the Word or reason was the organizing principle behind the world. It may be that John has that in mind as he writes, but actually more likely John has something else in mind, because John writes as a Jew with all the background of the Old Testament. We've heard many of the promises, the prophecies that God made. And John in his gospel repeatedly shows how Jesus fulfills the promises and patterns of the Old Testament scriptures. And in the Old Testament, God's word is the means by which God speaks and the means by which God acts. God says something and it happens. And right, John writes that Jesus is the Word. God making himself known. God speaking. God's self-expression. And he does that so that we can know him and have life and walk in light, his light. My wife Julia's father died in August. His life was actually a life of secrets. He was a senior civil servant, the deputy keeper of the public records. He looked after state papers, some of which will never be made public. And I always wanted to ask him, tell us what you've read, Ernest, come on. And during World War II, he was a linguist working at Bletchley Park, and then later where he went out to Ceylon working on Japanese codes. And we knew very little about what he actually did. He never spoke about what he did. That's how seriously he took the Official Secrets Act, which, of course, he'd signed. But later in life, his guard would drop, usually prompted by me. And I remember Julia's mother on one occasion saying she'd never heard her husband talk about the things he was now revealing. He had to make known who he was and what he'd done. Otherwise, it was all guesswork, and or he remained in ignorance. And God does not remain unknown or unknowable. If you're looking for God, then the Word is the place to start. Or rather, the Word is the word to hear. He is the person to listen to. He is the person to examine, to explore, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever you've done. And John says that this word is personal. John calls the word he. He was with God in the beginning. So in the beginning was not a force, not a life force that we kind of tap into, but the person Jesus, who can be known and who can love and who can give us meaning. And the Word is divine, God himself. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And some here might say, well, which is it? Was the Word with God, or was the Word God? Surely you might say it can't be both. I can't say Julia is with my wife and Julia is my wife. But John isn't here talking about two words. The Word is different from God, and so able to be with him. And the Word is the same as God. And John records in his gospel all the actions, the things that Jesus did, the extraordinary things that Jesus did, and his teaching, extraordinary teaching, the things that show that Jesus is who he claims to be, the Word, God himself. And John says here that, of course, the Word is very powerful. John begins with a deliberate echo of the opening of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. And John retells the story of creation with Jesus, the Word, at the very center of everything. Verse 3 tells us that through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, 15 billion years ago, there was a very, very, very tiny lump of stuff. It was smaller than a pinhead. But it weighed as much as the whole universe put together. And by chance, something happened in the very, very, very tiny lump of stuff. And it exploded in all directions. Billions of stars formed. And around one of them that formed, a bit of rock became a planet. It was later called the Earth. And by chance, it was exactly the right distance from the sun to have liquid water. And in the water, by chance, chemicals got together into things later called genes. These genes could duplicate themselves, and the genes made cells, and then whole organisms for these genes to live in, like flies and fish. They were all thrown together by chance. Finally, an organism called man was thrown up, and he built a rocket, and he flew to the moon to try and get some perspective on all this. Well, that's the story our culture tells us about who we are and why we're here. We're here by chance. We're just an accident. We've no value or purpose, except whatever value or purpose you and I decide we can impose on our lives for a brief short time, if we live long enough to do that. But the truth of Jesus cuts right across all of that. Because this evening we're not just accidents. Everything is not the result of the impersonal plus time plus chance. Everything is not a coincidental coming together of atoms. How fantastic, how incredible to think that matter without a mind produced logic and language. How much more believable to think that behind all these things is the Creator God, who is the Word. How fantastic, how incredible to think that matter without conscience produced a sense of right and wrong. How much more believable to think that behind all these things is the Creator God, who made us in his image, which is why we know that there is right and wrong. How fantastic to think that matter without imagination produced creativity. How much more believable to think that behind all these things is the Creator God. And you see, we don't have to guess and speculate, because Jesus is God making himself known fully and supremely. As John's gospel later says, John says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So if we want to know God, look at the person and work of Jesus and listen to him. And Jesus is also God loving us. It's not there in these first few verses. The word love is not actually mentioned. But these verses speak of an extraordinary relationship within God. The word was with God. John actually uses a word which means faces towards or even moves towards. It's a word that communicates a relationship between the word and God. Think of two lovers running towards each other. This word is moving towards someone else. And we're presented with something that is unique to Christianity, that God is Trinity. One God, eternally existing as three persons. God as a divine community, the Father, the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And so within the being of God, there's never been a lack of love. There's always been an object of love and a subject who loves. A solitary God cannot be love. From all eternity, in order to love, you have to have someone to love, or you have to have something to love. Whom did God love before the world was made? God has been able to love within his own being. The Father loving the Son, the Word, and so on. And that is why Christians say that God is love and always has been love in a way that nobody else is. And no other religion can claim that. And I want to argue that that makes sense of the way we are, because we're profoundly relational. And loving and being loved is more important than anything for us. And that makes perfect sense if we're made in the image of a God who himself is profoundly relational and who is love. And we only know truly who we are when we come to know this God who sent his Son. And then lastly, Jesus is God offering true life and light. John says in verse 4, in him was light, and that life was the light of men. See, the Son has always had life in himself. That's not the same with us. There's a time when we didn't have life. There'll come a time when we will die. But Jesus, the Son, the Word, was life. And that life was the light of men. And all of us can be confused about life, about God, about our identity, about who we are, about the truth, about the future, about why we're here. And we're confused because we are creatures with a limited understanding, and we're confused because we're sinners who've turned away from God. And that's why John says, look at Jesus. Here is God the Word entering history. Jesus is life, and he offers life. Life in relationship with God. Life where you can know that you're valuable. Before anyone else gives you value, through exam results or job offers or where you live, but because God made you and he values you. Life where you know you're loved before anyone else loves you, because God loves you. And life where you know what you're here for. And John says, intriguing, the life was the light of men. And we know, don't we, how our own experience, how a word can bring light. Maybe there's something we find confusing and then we say, oh, we see it now. And the life of Jesus is the light of men. the light metaphorically shining meaning and purpose on our paths. But then comes a reminder, John says, that this world is not all it should be. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And darkness is John's metaphor for the human race turning away from God. Darkness is his way of explaining sin. And the sad reality is that we say to God, I don't want to live by your light. I want to live my own way, my own light. But verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we turn away from God, and we live as if God is not there, but the light shines. The darkness has not overcome it. We're here again, another Christmas, hearing of Jesus, the Word. He shines. And far from being defeated by sin and darkness, God wants to be known. He wants to know us. And at Christmas, we hear the length that God goes to bring us back to himself. He sends his Son. Later in the Gospel, John says, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. So that love that there is within God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, spills out in love for a rebellious world, a sinful, dark world. And he longs for us to be restored to him. He longs to come and rescue each one of us who turn away from the light, to be brought back through Jesus and his death and resurrection. Isn't it glorious good news? Isn't that something to celebrate? Isn't this Jesus one to trust and to love and to obey with all of our lives? There may be somebody who says, well, you've said a lot that I'm not sure I can agree with. Please, can I exhort you? Please, to find out more about this life that Jesus alone can offer. Please do take a John's Gospel. I'll have some at the back. Please do join us on our Christianity Explored course, the red cards. Very informal, relaxed course where we think about the person of Jesus. The first one, just come along to the first taster session, I say, and see what you make of it. Just to look further at the person of Jesus. The wonderful truth that Jesus is God making himself known, coming to offer life and light and love. Please do find out more. Thank you for listening. Let's stand to sing our final carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.